tough independent publishing has been in peril for years now. Independent bookstores have been shutting down rapidly, particularly here in the Los Angeles area. Independent book publishers are financially struggling, and independent media in general have trouble reaching a sufficient subscriber base. This April, we covered the closure of the collectively run online news outlet, The New Standard, and last December, the cutting-edge radical magazine Clamour published its last issue. But all is not lost, for an exciting new independently created magazine hit the stands earlier this year. Makeshift is a magazine about contemporary feminist culture and action. Its first issue sold out within weeks of publication. It's now in its second printing, even as the second issue gets ready for publication. Two of the members of the editorial collective at Makeshift Magazine joined me in studio this morning, Jessica Hoffman and Stephanie Abraham. Welcome to Uprising.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks very much for joining us. So it's not often that a brand new independently produced magazine sells out its first issue within weeks, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
How did it all start? How did Makeshift start? And I should say Makeshift is all lowercase, make forward slash shift. How did it start, and what does its name mean?
Well, it came from the three of us, Jessica Hoffman, Daria Yudakovsky, and I, Stephanie Abraham. We worked together on a publication that was coming out of Cal State LA called Loudmouth, and that was a feminist magazine that was funded through the Women's Resource Center on campus, and it's now in its 15th issue, which is wonderful. It continues. It's available online, and it's free and priceless, as we say. And we worked together there, and then we wanted to do something together kind of outside of institutional funding on our own, something that can hit a national and international audience. And so we said, let's do it. And we talked about it for probably 12 months. We would have planning meetings, and everyone said, I can't believe you're taking so long planning this, because we usually just jump in and start. But we wanted to make sure we had all of our things covered before we actually started printing. And then Makeshift, in terms of the name, it's not easy to come up with a name for a publication. And one day we took a walk. We decided to get out of the office, and we took a walk through Griffith Park. And one of us suggested, how about Makeshift? And I don't know. We bounced it around for several months, and then we said, that's it. You know, make slash shift. For me, it's about making community and shifting society. Mm-hmm. And that's what we try and represent in every issue.
So being independent of institutions doesn't mean that, you know, of course, the only way to then be completely independent is if you are independently wealthy. You have to rely on advertisers, which I notice you do have in this issue. Was that a decision that you thought about very closely? How did you come up with that? And how did you come up with the advertisers, Jessica?
We did think a lot about whether we wanted to go with advertisers. One of the things with Loudmouth that was great was having the university funding. We didn't even have to think about that. We could use all the pages for content, not have that conversation at all. With Makeshift, we did, in order to afford to do the project. We have to rely on advertisers. We also have to rely, of course, on subscribers and, you know, people who purchase the magazine and bookstores to help us fund it. And so, yeah, we had a conversation about, okay, let's do this and let's focus on having advertisers that are independent businesses, that are feminist-owned or sort of feminist-minded businesses, and, you know, see where we can go from there. And fortunately, feminist businesses and feminist-owned businesses tend to be incredibly supportive of feminist projects like this. So actually, people were incredibly supportive in terms of, you know, buying ad space as a way of helping the project.
Now, what does Makeshift contribute to the landscape of feminist publications? Not that there's a very vast landscape, but, you know, some might say, well, we've got Ms. Magazine. Why do we need another feminist publication?
Well, I think we wanted to create a publication that we wanted to be able to pick up off the newsstand that is not there. And I think we've done a good job doing that. We're interdisciplinary. You know, in our mission statement, we are anti-racist. We prioritize queer perspectives and transnational, like, outlooks, too. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of feminist publications are kind of U.S.-based and U.S.-centric. And we try not to be, although all three of us are from here and a lot of contributors are as well. We try and have a, you know, global perspective in the lens through which we look.
So let's talk about some of the contributors and contributions to the first issue. You've got articles about gender activism and interview with Loretta Ross. How did you pick these contributors, and you know, what sort of are the ingredients that you're looking for to make each issue complete?
Part of the idea, to expand on what Stephanie was saying about, you know, what makes Makeshift different from other feminist magazines, is that we're really trying to document and engage with feminist culture and activism as it's happening in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different communities. Rather than what other feminist media is doing, is a lot of responding to dominant culture, critiquing dominant culture, that sort of thing. And there's a lot of great work being done in that area, but we really wanted to document feminist culture and activism. And part of doing that is recognizing that feminisms are plural, that there's lots of different activist and sort of art and academic projects going on within feminisms right now. And so what we think about mostly as we're deciding on what to go in each issue is sort of, you know, what's the sort of landscape right now? What are all of these different conversations that are happening and work that's happening in different feminist communities, and how can we document and engage with that? And so that means, you know, let's represent the reproductive justice conversation, which is where Loretta Ross came in. And to get beyond simply talking about choice and reproductive rights and into talking about, you know, a sort of broader anti-racist reproductive justice conversation. So Loretta Ross from Sister Song spoke about that. And then we'll have, say, Julia Serrano talking about the future of gender activism and talking about, you know, the scapegoating of femininity from a transgender perspective. And these are all sort of different conversations happening within different feminisms right now that we want to document.
Hmm. Now, for, you know, so who is your audience here that you're trying to appeal to? Are you primarily looking for an audience that already defines itself as feminist? Are you trying to reach a broader audience? Is it primarily a youth audience or a mix?
Well, we have to do a marketing packet and say who our readers were even before we had our magazine. And
this was part of your 12-month thinking process.
Yes, yes. And we were kind of uncomfortable with doing that. You know, who is a feminist, right? So, yeah, we wanted to target people who already identify as feminists, but also people who don't necessarily, you know, maybe activists of other genres, if you will, environmentalists, people active in the anti-racist movement. You know, chances are good that people, you know, perhaps on Wall Street or something aren't going to pick up Makeshift, but maybe they will. I mean, you know, as you said, it's sold out in less than 2 months, and we're a biannual publication. That was something we never imagined happening. We wondered if we were just doing it for, you know, the handful of our friends. I always say, you know, it's $5.95, but it's $20 for those who love me. No, so, you know, people who already identify and people who don't yet. You know, we're being sold in over 40 bookstores across the U.S. and in Canada. It's flying off the shelves in New York and Chicago in particular. And we're just thrilled about that.
Well, it's very challenging, certainly, to put together something like this. And it looks like the three of you, the two of you plus your third member of the editorial collective, have hit upon a winning formula, at least for these first few issues. Are you basically, let me ask you, I mean, both of you have clearly been involved in the issue of publishing independent magazines before. Is the main reason why, you know, magazines like Clamour and online news issues like our media institutions like the New Standards shut down, is the main reason usually funding?
Yeah. It's funding combined with the sort of burnout factor, because all of us working on these projects are usually doing them as volunteers on a third shift.
Sure.
And so to be sort of putting in that much energy and resources and constantly struggling with funding, I think with the New Standard, in talking to some of the editors there, that was a key thing that happened. It was sort of like, you know, if the funding was there, we could all deal with being as burnt out as we are. But to have to be, you know, juggling all of that. And I mean, just to say, it's not, we're doing well right now as a startup, but we're also really struggling, and it remains to be seen whether the funding will be there for us. I mean, it's a very difficult time to do independent projects at this sort of moment in capitalism. There's not a lot of support for a sort of outsider challenging project.
Well, if you become really successful, Rupert Murdoch will start eyeing you. And so your second issue is nearing publication. Tell our listeners what to expect in that. And also and I understand you're just going to announce pitches for your third edition.
Yeah, we actually accept submissions on a rolling basis. And we haven't organized our issues around a theme, But this is something that we address in the letters editor, is that we wanted to do our first issue just to kind of see what happened. And it ended up that pretty much everything that was submitted or written worked around a theme of relationships. And so we wondered if that had something to do with people's interpretation of feminism. And our second issue, we did the same without putting a theme out. It's come up around this very issue of what it means to make media, what it means to be independent, and how do we do this in these times.
And I should give a disclaimer to listeners. I am a contributor to your second issue, and a small contributor, and very excited about that, to be part of that. So can listeners also make pitches for your third issue?
Mm-hmm. An official call for submissions will be going out on Wednesday to everyone on our email list. So if you want to get on that email list to get that, you can sign up at www.makeshiftmag.com. And you can also, as Steph said, send pitches and submissions on a rolling basis to info@makeshiftmag.com.
So that's makeshiftmag.com, mm-hmm. and the email address is info@makeshiftmag.com. Do you accept submissions from straight guys, for example, or, you know, from is there a particular, type of writer you're looking for?
We're not concerned with writers' identities so much as their political perspective. Mm-hmm. So we're, there's a wide range of identities and communities represented.
And dare I ask this, do you pay?
We do pay. It's a modest stipend. It's 2 cents a word. So it's a little something to thank folks for their time, but we know no one's going to be supporting themselves on this.
It's 2 cents for your 2 cents.
There you go. Well, Stephanie, Abraham, Jessica Hoffman, thank you both very much for joining us today. Best of luck to the two of you. And actually, very briefly, mention some newsstands where people can pick up the magazine.
In L.A., Skylight Books has copies, Emish and Eagle Rock has copies. I think there are still some at Mocha, even though the wax show that they were kind of there with, I think, is done. There's a couple other spots in L.A. Well, York Fashion in Alhambra.
Is it on your website?
Yes, there's a list of stores.
And you can
site.
Also buy online.
Okay, makeshiftmag.com is the website where you can find out all the other information on that. And for Sonali's subversive thought for the day, I'd like to quote Audre Lorde, who once said, "If I didn't define myself for myself, I would be crunched into other people's fantasies for me and eaten alive." That's Audre Lorde, and that's Sonali's subversive thought for the day.